Heavenly Father, open our hearts. Without you, Lord, we are destitute. We are lost. But Lord, in you we have life. In you we have your promises and your love. Lord, help us to know you. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12, as I mentioned. We'll be starting in verses 13 all the way to 34. So it's a little bit longer of a passage, but I'll go ahead and Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made you a judge or arbitrator over me?" And he said, and Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And he spoke to them, spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be to which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.' Then he said to the disciples, 'Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are they, value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If so, then God clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should have to eat or what you should drink, nor be have any anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after him, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so as we look at our text tonight, Jesus will be addressing the heart. Jesus is going to be trying to help those there before him at this time and also here tonight to help us with our hearts. Because Jesus knows the heart is deceitful above all things. He knows how hard it is to be able to discern our own hearts or know our hearts. And so what Jesus wants to do for us is he wants to give us, in a sense, a billboard. We know what a billboard is. It's a sign that tells us things, gives us information. A lot of times it's advertisements. But in a sense, he wants to give us a billboard that we can read ourselves. And we live with this billboard. And it's almost like we want to look back at the billboard. For some, it's a helpful tool for us. For others, it is reminding them of him. And so, what the billboard intends to do is to reveal, good or bad, where our heart is. Jesus says, where your treasure is, reveals where your heart is. And so, as we start off in chapter 11, which we didn't read, Jesus had just addressed the Pharisees. Jesus had just addressed what was in their hearts, and because of that, they are starting, or they have been, and are now continuing to hate him. Jesus, on their billboards, before all the people, wrote two things that he addressed in chapter 11, which was their hypocrisy and greed. And we see the result of Jesus addressing their hearts in chapter 11, verse 53 and 54. It shows that the Pharisees, when Jesus reveals their heart, what happens? They assail him. They lie in wait, seeking to catch him, that they might accuse him. Pretty much, they're trying to kill Jesus because he had revealed what was in their hearts. But amazingly, as Jesus is revealing the Pharisees' hearts, verse 1 of chapter 12, what do you think happens? In that time, there's probably intensity of their accusing Jesus, and Jesus is defending himself. Jesus is bringing up all of their issues of that hypocrisy and greed. And as this intensity happens between Jesus and the leaders, the Pharisees, in the meantime, verse 1 of chapter 12, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered so that they were trampled one another, Jesus, as he's addressing the Pharisees and as they're attacking him, you could imagine the commotion and all the people going, is he talking to them like this? Who could dare stand up to the Pharisees or the religious leaders? And as this commotion happens, it draws, as the ESV says, multiple thousands of people come to gather around Jesus. And so Jesus then, as the crowd comes and as they're assailing him, he then turns to the crowd. And this is where he begins to... Oh, actually, he turns to the disciples, sorry. This is where he begins to address his disciples. And he tells the disciples, verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Jesus is addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, where their ways are secretive and deceitful. And he says, beware of the hypocrisy. And so Jesus teaching his disciples, saying, God sees all. That's what it's pretty much summarized in verse 2. And then he continues, and as the Pharisees are trying to kill Jesus, what does Jesus teach his disciples? He says, verse 4 and 5, and I say to you, friends, my friends, do not be afraid that those who kill the body and after that have no more they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him whom, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Jesus saying, don't fear the Pharisees. Don't fear men. Fear God. God has the power to send to hell. And for that reason alone, we should never tremble before men or anything else except God alone. And as Jesus is teaching his disciples, this is what Jesus is focusing on and trying to help his disciples to not be swayed in their hearts by other men, by the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And this is the context of all this thousands of people. And as Jesus is focused on these intense subjects, we get to verse 13. Verse 13. Then, one from the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Doesn't that match, you know, the kingdom of heaven, hell, heaven, and this man's inheritance? I mean, that's really important, right? You could see where this man is kind of off the page of where Jesus is going. It's amazing. Does that ever happen to us? Right? We're here to learn about God, to know God, and where are our minds? What am I going to eat for dinner? What am I going to do at work, right? They can so easily wander. And what we see here is that Jesus is going to use this man as an example for the whole crowd and even his disciples to help to teach. But we see how this man, and in a sense this poor man, is deceived by sin. Right now, what is most important to this man? Is it Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God, about knowing God? No. What has deceived him? It's the covetousness in his heart. It is sin in his heart that is literally telling him that whatever inheritance he was supposed to get is more important than God. And thus, it has blinded him. And so, I'm glad none of you, as you guys were wondering what to eat, you didn't interrupt me and say, hey, what should I eat to dinner? But that's what would be like as if this man interrupts Jesus, right? And so, we see that Jesus then responds to the man. He says, verse 14, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you? And it's amazing because Jesus, as God, is he worried about earthly things like this? Is he a social worker or some kind of, one who's going to be a judge of earthly things? No. No, Jesus, where does he care about? What does he focus on? It's going to be this man's heart. It's going to be knowing God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we see, Jesus seems to turn and kind of ignore him, saying, I'm not going to deal with you. But then, verse 15, Jesus turns to the crowd. And remember that billboard? Jesus is going to take this man's heart and make a huge billboard upon the thousands of people that are there, right? And he's going to write on that billboard, this man's sins of his heart. It seems pretty cruel, but we will see what Jesus intends to do. And so we see here on that billboard, Jesus gives this command to all of the crowd that's before him. And he said to them, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And so, you could imagine, you know, Jesus is talking about fearing God, and now he takes a total different turn as this man interrupts him. And Jesus gives this command. And you would see where first he tells us what two things to do, which is going to be take heed. So that is going to be, the first thing is going to be to watch out for, to be careful of, to observe, to take heed, to watch for covetousness. And the other thing is to beware, or to be standing against or guarding against covetousness. What is this thing that we are to be careful for, what we are to carefully watch out for or beware against? Covetousness is an eager or excessive desire for possessions. Kids, what is covetousness? It's just wanting things that other people have. That's what covetousness is. And in a sense, it's looking to find our satisfaction in the things that we could possess or have. And so Jesus is addressing the crowd in helping them to understand that this life, can this thing be, can our lives be satisfied with things? This man, Mr. Interrupter, I'm going to call him, Mr. Interrupter, he was focused on that and trying to be satisfied with that inheritance. And Jesus is trying to say, when he uses that word for one's life, that's like your existence or what sustains you. One's life, the thing that sustains you, that causes your existence, is not things or possessions. Who is it? It is God alone. God who is your provider. God who is the one who sustains your very soul and provides everything for you. And so we see here that Jesus, to the whole crowd, tells this. And you could imagine Mr. Interrupter. How do you think he kind of feels? There's a little shame or guilt, right? As Jesus addresses his heart. Jesus paints that big billboard of what is going on in this man's heart. And so, I'd like to think about our hearts, your hearts tonight. If God was to take a billboard and hang it above your head wherever you're going to work tomorrow, and it was right on it was written, what is in your heart? How would you feel? The kids smile and a little bit of guilt, right? Because they love things. They love toys. But as adults, we know the outworking of our heart because we see the fruit of it. Either anger, covetousness, lust, all of these things can be things of the heart that come out and we try and suppress it. But the proud man, what would they do if that billboard written of what's in their heart was displayed before everybody? The proud man is going to kind of cover it, maybe paint over it or hang a sheet over it. But what does the humble say? Pray for me. This is why I need the Lord. I know, Lord, thank you. It'd almost be a help, right? Because you could be like, okay, I'm going out and I'm about to stumble and it's written right there. I can just read the billboard and avoid it. But we see that Jesus, to try and help this Mr. Interrupter and the crowd, then continues on in verse 16 and gives them a parable. Verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So Jesus moves from the command against covetousness, loving possessions or things. And he speaks this parable. And what do we learn from this parable? We see it's a certain rich man. The man has crops or fields, and there was an abundance. So much so that he can literally retire. I don't know, maybe he's 40. Don't we wish for that? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe he's 50, but he can retire. He got such a blessing in his produce that now he is set for all many years, as he said. What's amazing about this parable is that when you look at the man, Does he look like a bad person? This rich man, does he do any heinous crimes, like murder someone, plot to steal from all his neighbors? Does he, you know, think of, you know, how to, you know, steal something? Does he even break the commands of God? Does he lie? Does he worship idols? Does he blaspheme God? No. On a surface, he's not, you know, you wouldn't readily see that he has done anything wrong. You could imagine, right? Just like Mr. Interrupter, he's probably an Israelite. He's a person who's grown up in the temple of God. He might have grown up in the church, right? He knows what to say, he knows what to do, right? His heart doesn't seem bad. Would God really judge him for this? But what we see is, what has he done to deserve the judgment of hell? Why would God send this man to hell? What is so wicked, so severe, so heinous that this man deserves an eternity of punishment? He's a fool. A fool is one who rejects God. He is one who has rejected God, and instead of finding his life in the knowing and loving the Lord, he's thrown that to the side. And in his heart, though he might with his lips say he believes, but in his heart, he has rejected God. No care of obeying God, no care of following God, no care of giving God thanks or thanksgiving to God. No. All led to himself. And what did he do with his produce or his possessions? It was all for him. And what we see is, this man laid up treasure in his crops, not God. And that is the judgment that this man is under. And Jesus is warning all of the crowd, even Mr. Interrupter, but the crowd especially, because they would have seen the covetousness in the religious leaders. They would have seen covetousness around them, just like us today. We would see people collecting and hoarding and buying all the newest things and finding their fulfillment in everything around them in this world. And all the time rejecting Christ. All the time ignoring him and not glorifying who is the sustainer, who is the one who gives the essence of life. And so we see that God will send covetous sinners to hell. And Jesus is warning the crowd before him, and even us tonight. He says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich for God. And what is the treasure? What is a treasure, kids? Randy, what is a treasure? A treasure is something that you value, right? What comes to mind when you think of a treasure? Right away, kids, what do you think? Gold. Gold. And imagine this table here. Big treasure chest, you open it up and it's just filled with shiny gold. You pick up one bar, what can that do for you? Buy you 10 PS100s or a new Xbox, 10 of them, right? Or that gold bar for you adults, what is that treasure that gold can do for you? Brand new car, new house maybe, for two bars, right? Gold, it's valuable. And so Jesus asks you, what is your heart treasuring? Because what you value, what is most important in your life, shows you, is that billboard of where your heart is. In this man, it was covetousness. It was possessions. It was things. So often, for us, it could be relationships, it could be wealth, as we mentioned, work. The list goes on and on of where we could treasure. And what we want to see is that that treasure, that valuable thing, is the thing that we think about. We spend our energy towards. Just like this man who was in the parable, that's what he focused on. As soon as he got that big, huge abundance, it was not thanksgiving or glory to God what I should do with this. It was all on that becoming his trust, his security. And what's amazing is that wealth bad? Is it bad to be rich? Is having money bad? No, not at all. God's the one who gives it. But it's the heart. It's the heart that takes it and uses it for the kingdom of God and growing in the knowledge of God. Or it's the heart that hoards it, uses it for self, and glorifies itself. And so it's not the wealth or the money. Jesus is pointing to the heart. And Jesus is saying is where your treasure is, that's the billboard that reveals what's written where your heart is. And so we see that Jesus wants us to examine ourselves. Before this crowd, Jesus wants us to think about and meditate on, what do I love? What makes me happy? What do I value in my life? Because if it isn't anything else besides God, we are a fool. And he's trying to warn us of that. And so you see the love of Jesus for Mr. Interrupter. He is a proud man, blinded by his covetousness. And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is helping him to see that he needs to repent, to turn away. In verse 33, Jesus will say, "Sell what you have and give alms, give to the poor." If something is causing you to treasure that more than God, Jesus says, get rid of it, sell it, and use it for the kingdom and give to the poor. And so we want to think about, imagine if this man, Mr. Interrupter, didn't come to Jesus. If he didn't come to Jesus, he would have continued in his covetousness, in his proud argument with his brother for his inheritance, right? And this man would be in hell this very day. This living man at that time. Even worse to think about is, what if this man does not listen to Jesus' warning? Jesus reveals his heart, opens it up to what is in his heart, and he shows him his heart. And Jesus is saying, no, for certain. If you reject God for these possessions, if you love and value anything of this world, you are rejecting God, and God will judge you. And you will be sent to hell. And that same warning is for us to know. To know this about God, but not only that, to be as Jesus does is to tell others too of the warning of where their treasure is. And so we see that Jesus first says, take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And that's what he addresses to the crowd. And Jesus continues in verse 22. And you can imagine his disciples are maybe off to the side right by him because they're his close disciples. And Jesus then turns to his disciples in verse 22 and he says to them, therefore, Therefore, so Jesus is connecting the covetousness issue now to, he says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Billboard number two is your worries and your anxieties. Jesus is saying where your worries and anxieties are in, or where they're coming from, reveals where your heart is. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And then he continues with the example of creation, how God takes care of the birds. God clothes the grass. And of how much more value are you, his children, and him, your heavenly Father. So now, Jesus, as he switches to the more intimate disciples, he even addresses them. Are you guys anxious? Do you guys worry or fret? Any recent panic attacks? You know, those are things that Jesus is saying is a billboard that reveals our hearts. And so what does Jesus give us to cure covetousness and to cure anxieties and worries? This is the application that Jesus will drive at to help the hearts of those in the crowd of his disciples and all of us. Our application tonight is Jesus commands us to lay up treasures in heaven, to be rich towards God. What does he mean? How can we lay up treasures in heaven? How can we be rich towards God? Verse 30, Jesus says, but we can start with 29 just to give the context. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Ha! Don't have an anxious mind. Like, come on, guys. Who's there with us, right? He's telling us, don't do that. Oh, man. But anyways, verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after them, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added to you. What cures covetousness or cures our anxieties and worries? It is knowing God. Jesus does not direct you anywhere else except to know him. This man in our parable, what did he know? He knew his possessions. He knew his crops. He knew how to store up for them. He knew how to make the bigger barn so that he could store his security and his trust. But Jesus is saying, make me, know me, trust me, make me your security. And so how would we labor to have treasures in heaven, to seek the kingdom of God, is going to be growing in knowing Christ. Growing day by day in knowing his care, his love, his power, his sovereignty. And as you could see, as soon as we see God, who is the giver of all these gifts, covetousness. Why would we covet the gold when God, eternal God, becomes our treasure? Why would we be anxious or worry about our clothes or our food or our housing when we see that God is the one who orchestrated everything in our lives and provides for us? And so we see here that Jesus, one of the commands is, if you see in your heart something is separating you from God, in this case, covetousness and possessions, verse 33, sell what you have, give it to the poor. Because if it's keeping you out of the kingdom of God and knowing God, Jesus says, throw it away, repent of it. Turn away from trusting in that and finding your satisfaction or your life in that, and turn to Him. And what we see here is that for His disciples that might be full of anxious mind, might be worried about the Pharisees who want to kill Jesus, who want to maybe kill them also, don't be afraid. God knows. He knows your state. And so, as we are no longer set on those things, distracted or hindered by those things, either the anxieties or fears or the covetousness, Jesus then continues that command where now we are to be rich towards God. Rich towards God. 1 Timothy 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That's our mindset, as Jesus is illustrating for us. Don't worry. Be content. Don't be covetousness. And it continues in 1 Timothy. As for the rich in the present age, verse 17 of chapter 6 through 19, as for the rich in the present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And what we see in Matthew, Jesus also in the complimentary verses in Matthew says that we are to also lay up our treasures in heaven. And so, what, again, does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven in a practical sense? Our hearts used to have that billboard written on, this is my desire, this is what I coveted, this is what I wanted in my life. This is my bucket list in a sense. What Jesus is saying is now no longer are those things, your sin is no longer God, but He is the one who will write on your billboard of what your heart is to go after by the Holy Spirit. The application is to know God, and He will direct you. Know God, know Christ, and what His commands are for your life, and you will know how you're to lay up treasures in heaven. Again, you would start with looking at Jesus' example and Jesus' commands. So one thing where we would, how to lay up treasures in heaven, the Great Commission. How are we doing on obeying that Great Commission of going and taking hearts that are full of covetousness and in darkness of sin, headed to hell, and we're coming alongside of them and saying, no, learn about one who's greater than a house or greater than a spouse or or riches or possessions. And so we see that we would go to Jesus Christ and know Him more and allow Him to be our treasure and to guide us. When we look to our billboard, what does He want us to do? Not letting our heart be the ones determine that. Not letting our hearts be the ones who goes over that. But we would have Jesus be the one we know and we follow. And what does He promise? A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. It's an eternal treasure, which is Him. And so how do you lay up treasures in heaven is to know Him better. And as we grow in knowing Him, we go as He did. We conform to what He does, what His commands tell us to do, and we obey Him. And this is what Jesus desires for all of us as His disciples. And so I pray that as we examine our hearts, we would see Jesus' words written on our billboards of where we are to go and labor, where we are to not be like this rich man, for our own interests, for our own reasons, for our own desires, but instead we would be going as He has called us to. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, how You help us with our hearts. Lord, You desire our good. You desire us to have life in You through faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, for the promises that You give us, that knowing You is a treasure that is eternal. Knowing You and serving You, Lord, is why we were made. You are the one who gives us life. Thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.